And good afternoon, and welcome to this edition of your radio magazine, Voices of the Tri-State. Today we are talking federal issues, and joining me by phone I have Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. And Senator, good afternoon. Thanks for joining me here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be with you. Thank you for having me once again.
Well, Senator, of course, agriculture season, one of our big times here in Iowa, and I know yesterday, just back here in Dubuque, Senator Ernst was having a hearing on how federal regulations impact agriculture and our food supply. I just thought I'd let you chime in on that as well. And we've talked before how oftentimes, you know, regulations are good, but over-regulations, boy, oh, boy, they certainly do hurt a lot of what's going on.
I'll give you, let me give you an example of overreach as far as regulations concerned, and it hasn't even taken effect yet. But if I told you, which I'm going to tell you, that EPA is putting out a regulation that will regulate water on land on 97% of all the land in Iowa, and that maybe you would have to someday have a permit to do normal farming.
I just find it amazing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that they would regulate that. You probably would think in terms of that couldn't really be true. But it is true, and it's so bad and such a overextending of the power of the EPA that courts, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, has put in place an injunction against going ahead with it. Because according to the court, EPA has overextended its authority.
Well, you know, it almost makes me think that even me having a bird bath in my backyard might be regulated by the EPA someday if that goes into effect.
Yeah. Now, I didn't tell your listeners what that rule was. It's called Waters of the U.S. Normally and historically, the federal government has only regulated waters from Washington, D.C., as far up a river a commercial ship could go. Now EPA has extended that authority, which I hope they never get away with this authority they claim, but they want to extend it up to what a lot of people would say could be a farm pond, or some people may be exaggerating, but it may not be exaggerating either, a mud puddle.
And that's exactly it. And we've talked a little bit about this before, but what's the end game on this? Is it just total control of everything that we do?
Yeah, you know, it's like if you want to know why regulators regulate, pigs squeal, cows moo, and regulators regulate.
It's just a natural thing that they do. So where do we stand with this? It's suspended. Is this something that can be put into effect, or where does this go?
Well, you mentioned Senator Ernst having this hearing.
Yes.
Let me tell you, she led a battle with one way of stopping it, but it has to have the president's signature. So she got it through the Congress, a resolution of disapproval, but the president has to sign it. Obviously, the president is going to sign it. So he vetoed it, and so that didn't work. So finally, some people in this country took it to the courts, and several courts have said that that EPA went beyond its authority. But when it got to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, it was so bad to that court that they put an injunction against it throughout the entire country, not just in their part of the United States.
Okay. Well, Senator, I'm going to change gears on you a little bit here, and we will certainly keep an eye on that EPA situation there, too. But this recent situation of this veteran in Iowa committing suicide, and I know that you've been looking into it along with some of our other senators here. Where do we stand with investigating on what happened there?
Well, I don't have an answer on how far the investigation's moving along, but a week ago, we got word back from the Inspector General that they were going to respond to our request and actually proceed with that investigation. the same investigation you're asking about, but we'll have to wait a few weeks in order before we get an answer for me to give you more detail. But I've got a lot of confidence in inspectors general. Some of them don't do their job right, but an inspector general within a bureaucracy, and in this case, this would be the Veterans Administration, they tend to be very independent, as they're supposed to be, and be above not only political pressure, but be above pressure from whoever heads the administration, whether it's a Republican or Democrat administration. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Overall, and again, this is an issue that has been going on, the VA healthcare operations. Your thoughts here, I mean, are we getting things anywhere near back on track? I know there had been some promises made.
No. In fact, let me tell you, 2 years ago right now, Congress passed a bill that was supposed to straighten things out. It appropriated $16 billion of emergency money, VA, that gave the secretary the ability to fire people. Because it's very hard to fire people in the federal bureaucracy. We set up the CHOICE program, which would allow veterans that have to wait more than 30 days for a non-emergency situation to go to a private doctor or private hospital outside of the VA system. And then lastly, we gave more protection to whistleblowers. And all of this has turned out to be a total disappointment, particularly the CHOICE program. That's where you go to your to a doctor outside of the VA. And the situation turned out that the VA would contract that out to a private company to take the phone calls and make the arrangements, and they didn't know how to do it. So veterans weren't being helped any more than before we passed the bill. So we got on top of that, got them to abridge the contract with that private company, take it in-house where it should have been kept in the first place, and now the change is so recent that I can't give you an update of whether the CHOICE system is working better, but the CHOICE system never worked the way we intended it to work.
Along those same lines on the VA, and I saw, I think it was a news release out of your office, VA was spending $20 million on artwork. Is that right?
Yeah. When they're always crying for more money and they're spending $20 million on artwork, isn't that priorities out of control?
And
I surely think so. So the letter was not only to get details and rationale behind that, but also to bring public attention to it and maybe change the behavior of the VA so they put the care of veterans ahead of artwork. And there's some feeling from the whistleblowers we got our information from that maybe the situation described in my letter of $20 million is just the tip of the iceberg.
Wow. I'll tell you, Senator, when I saw that information, I was just furious because I thought you're exactly right. All the times that they're asking for more money and they don't have enough money for this or that, and then you see this, that potentially $20 million plus just spent on artwork, and nothing wrong with artwork, but when you're talking about somebody getting in there to get their health care as opposed to something that's going to go up on a wall, I think you're right. You have to take a look at priorities. What need needs to be served first?
Yeah. Well, I hope that that they'll use their money more wisely. Now, I have to tell your listeners that when you get this information from a whistleblower, it's kind of like locking the barn door after the horse is stolen. But you hope by bringing attention to this mismanagement of money that you're going to be able to change behavior so it doesn't happen again.
Okay. Well, I have another health care question, but again, I want to remind our audience today we are talking with Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. health care reform, Senator, and I had heard for those who are getting, say you have a very small business or individual insurance costs, they're looking at increases in that health care premium somewhere in the neighborhood 40, perhaps even up to 50% for the health care insurance increase. Now, I thought health care reform was supposed to start bringing some of these costs down.
Absolutely. In the 2008 election, that's what Obama promised, that your health care insurance premiums would go down $2,500. They've gone up that much or more. Then we had a situation where the president said, if you like your doctor, you could keep it. And millions of people have had to change doctors. And then we had the president say that if you want to keep your health insurance, you'll be able to keep your health insurance. And even more millions of people aren't able to keep their own health insurance. So the public's been misled on this for a long, long period of time. And then what's coming out now is big increases because Obamacare has encouraged people not to buy insurance until the day before you go to the hospital, and then people cancel their health insurance when they don't need it. And so normally you'd have people, everybody contributed the pot of money. That's what insurance is all about. But there was game playing with it, and people could get away with it, and that's why the premiums are going up so high to make up for the bad policies of Obamacare. And if you think they're high now, wait until we try re-enrollment, which will come pretty soon, November the 1st, all of these increases has to be made public by then. And quite frankly, it could make a very big impact on the election coming up 1 week later.
Well, I tell you, just the cost that I've seen just for my own personal health care, to me, I just think it's like, well, I'm working a good chunk of my time just to pay health care, and that's, you know, through an employer situation. But, again, I've heard from insurance people all over talking about these increases, and the average person who's had this, or like I said, the impact on a small business who says, wow, what do? We can't afford this anymore, has a huge economic impact.
Well, you're just having a lot of small businesses just have to give up on their health insurance for their employees. Then you had another situation where people were providing supplemental income to help people buy health insurance, and Obamacare made that unlawful to a point where if you supplement in cash for your employees to buy insurance, you could be fined $100 a day for each one of the days and each one of the employees that you're violating that law. And so I have a bill in to change that and to legalize those small employers that instead of buying insurance, they want to pay their employees some money to help them buy health insurance to make that so that supplement can continue.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about some of our elderly in nursing homes, and apparently there has been an uptick. There's always people doing unscrupulous things, but people are recording these residents and placing them on social media in, let's just face it, humiliating situations. Is there anything that can be done? I think you've been working on something along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah, we sent a letter to CMS, the agency that sees that nursing homes give quality care, and they're beefing up their enforcement of the existing law. I don't think new laws have to be changed. But can you imagine the inhumanity of people? We've had three cases in Iowa, the inhumanity of employees at a nursing home that would take pictures on social media and send them around to your friends of patients that have feces all over their body. That's the inhumanity of some of these people.
My goodness. And like I say, I find the act despicable. And
yeah.
My thought is, you know, those kind of people, first of all, should never be working in nursing homes, healthcare, period. And if there's something further we can do along those lines, I think it should be done.
Well, I can tell your listeners that some of those employees have been fired. And the nursing home, I talked about regulators. They have the main job to see that the law is enforced. But the Nursing Home Association around the country, but more specifically in Iowa, is taking aggressive action against those type of people. Well, I should say aggressive action and leadership in telling each one of these homes that you got to watch out for these type of employees that would do those crazy things.
My goodness. I want to talk a little bit about some pharmaceutical types of issues here. Some question whether Medicare prefers mail order over community pharmacies. Has that been an issue that has just popped up or something that's been going on for quite some time?
Oh, yeah, it has. And I think that that the people that are creating this problem don't have the right to do it. I've written letters on this point. And I hope we get it corrected that just by putting out information that such action is contrary to what the law is. The reason we're doing it is because such actions are very contrary to the intent of the law and very harmful to particularly small town pharmacists. Or I should say maybe to any independent pharmacist.
And I guess some of it is just purely about choice, too. If someone wants to go to that small-town pharmacist, that they have a relationship, say, with a pharmacist there that helps them to understand some of these medications, all the better if that's what makes that person, again, maybe less days in the hospital because they're taking their medications properly.
Yeah, that's right.
Want to also talk about, I think you had a letter asking the DEA for an update on how they handle controlled substances. What was going on there?
Well, it deals, I sent two letters, and I don't know which one you're referring to, but let me tell you the two things. We want the DEA to make maximum use of federal law that gets unused drugs in people's medicines cabinets out of the medicine cabinet and out of the hands of people that would use particularly oxycodone and then become addicted to a point where then they end up taking cheaper heroin and stuff like that. The other one is on the issue of medical marijuana for what we call a cannabis oil, to make sure that we can get DEA to sign off and Food and Drug Administration to sign off so we can do more research on cannabis oil, because it's very helpful to some families with the problems of children with epilepsy.
Okay. Well, again, another question here, Senator, a different issue. Out a while ago, this $400 million cash payment to Iraq. I'm a little befuddled about this whole thing, why we are sending this $400 million out.
Well, of course, the president's going to tell you it's a negotiation that's going to get us a cheaper settlement with some money that Iran paid to us 30 or 40 years ago for some airplanes that were, there was a change of government, and they never got the airplanes, and they want the money back, and they're claiming billions of dollars. And the president's going to tell you he negotiated an agreement for $1.7 billion, and that's cheaper for the taxpayers. It might be, but the point is it came at the same time we were trying to get some prisoners released and people that were kidnapped in Iran released, and we gave up the $400 million on the same airplane tarmac that that the prisoners were ready to fly off, and they didn't take off until the $400 million got there. So the president says, well, that's not really kidnap people paying ransom for them. It's really as simple as the money arrived the same time the prisoners were going to take off. But the president can deny that if he wants to. But the Iranian government has said that it was a ransom for kidnapping. And consequently, it's going to put in jeopardy the lives of a lot of other Americans that are traveling around the country, around the world, to get kidnapped. And then the people that kidnap them think that we will give ransom. And so it's going to make the traveling American citizens' life much more vulnerable this way, and it just shouldn't have been done.
And that's right. I think a lot of residents back here are just kind of scratching their heads. I mean, this is a government that has, and I forgive me, I'd said Iraq, I meant Iran, but this is a government that more or less has snubbed its nose at us. It kidnaps our people, and we are whatever the president or whoever wants to call it, we're giving ransom money. It just seems like a bad situation.
Well, I think if it puts American lives in jeopardy and encourages kidnapping because you're going to get ransom for it, then that speaks for itself. But the president can talk himself out of it as much as he wants to. But if the Iranians say it was $400 million the ransom for people, then that's what it is. It's ransom. If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's got to be a duck, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Senator, just one last question I'm going to toss at you here. So coming up, anything in the next few weeks, month, that's going to be down the horizon we should be aware of?
Yeah, just so your listening public knows that you're talking to me while I'm traveling around Iowa holding town meetings. We're in summer recess, which is the month of August, and it's normally the whole month of August, sometimes 3 weeks only. But this year, it's the whole month of August. We go back on Labor Day. We'll be in session for 5 weeks and then probably take 2.5 to 3 weeks off for the general election ending November the 8th. And then we'll go back in November and December. And I think most of the work for the rest of this year is going to be dealing with appropriation bills.
All righty. Well, Senator, as always, we appreciate your coming on, and we will check in with you next month.
Thank you very much.